The Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, and verses 13 to 26. This is a passage that comes shortly after the Lord Jesus Christ feeds a whole multitude with 7 loaves, and they had, of course, much left over, 7 large baskets full left over, and also where the Lord Jesus Christ warns his disciples in verse 15 against the leaven of the Pharisees, the influence of the Pharisees. So there you have bread and leaven mentioned, and this passage comes in at the heels of that. And he left them, and getting into the boat again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, and when they did not have more than 1 loaf with them in the boat, then he charged them, saying, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "It is because we have no bread." But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, "Why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000? How many basketful of fragments did you take up?" They said to him, 12. "Also, when I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take?" And they said, 7. So he said to them, "How is it you do not understand?" Then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him, and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, "I see men like trees walking." Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up, and he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Then he sent him away to his house, saying, "Neither go into the town, nor tell anyone in the town." So far the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, as we continue our reflections on the subject of spiritual depression, we come to a major factor that opens us up to this condition. That is a lack of understanding of the Christian faith. And so when there are deficiencies in us understanding the scriptures, certain passages of scriptures, certain doctrines, then I hope you can see that that opens us up to attacks from the devil. So if we don't fully understand and appreciate the foundation upon which our lives are built, even though the fact that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ means that we are solidly rooted on that foundation, but the fact of the matter is, if we're not aware of it, then it's so easy for the devil to undercut that And though we are saved, we don't feel safe. So, if the devil, for example, can persuade us that, like the Arminians, for example, because, of course, doesn't mean just because you're Arminian, you're not saved. But if you have that blind spot, and you think that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is something that you do, it rests on you, and you're convinced of that. So when things are not going well, of course the devil is going to exploit that. He's going to say, see, you don't love the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the things that you're doing. That clearly shows that you don't trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, since you don't trust him, then you're not a Christian. And so now the person, not only is he going astray in terms of the way what he's doing, but now added on to him is this weight of the devil's attack, which is to say, you're not a believer at all. And he may certainly be a believer. But because he's got this blind spot of understanding fully the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, then he's going to go through this difficult time that may, in fact, lead him into a time of depression because of his lack of understanding, lack of appreciation of what the scriptures teach. And that's why we want to look then at this passage this evening, because I think it brings out that danger and teaches us very clearly through this miracle, this lesson. Our passage relates to us a miracle, a very unique miracle. Because most of the time, of course, when we read about the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are impressed by the fact that when the Lord Jesus Christ speaks, it happens. So when the Lord Jesus Christ casts out demons, they go out. When the Lord Jesus Christ calls forth Lazarus from the grave, he comes up. When he raised the little girl to life, she rose up. When he raised the son of the widow of Nain, he got up. And when people were lame, they started to walk immediately, or with a withered hand. Or miracles with respect to the creation, when the storm and winds and waves are happening, when he speaks, there is peace. But here we're kind of taken aback a little bit. Because here, the Lord Jesus Christ does a miracle, and it doesn't happen straight away. This is kind of a two-stage approach. And furthermore, the Lord Jesus Christ raises that. He's the one that, I mean, he didn't, when he raised the dead, he didn't say, are you alive? When he raised people that were lame, he didn't say, can you walk now? Is it okay? No, he didn't do that. But this man was blind and he healed him. And then he says, do you see? Because he wants to bring that to light. He wants to focus our attention on that. Because he has a very important lesson for us to learn. And it's put together, connected in this passage, with these other events. Namely, the Lord Jesus Christ feeding the 4,000. And then, when they are traveling, he says to his disciples, oh, did you bring bread? And they kind of really don't know what he's talking about. And so they're confused as to why he's asking this question. And then he warns them about the leaven of the Pharisees and the scribes. And they mistake these things. And they think, oh, he's asking us about these things because, we forgot to bring bread. When he mentions leaven of the Pharisees. Because leaven and bread, of course, go together. And so they think, well, I don't know. What does he mean? We don't understand what he's talking about. And so their conclusion is, he's saying, you forgot bread. And he wasn't, he didn't mean that at all. He was referring to the leaven of the Pharisees and the and of Herod. And so instead of asking him, Lord, what do you mean? We don't understand what you're talking about. What do you mean? What are you getting at? Instead of doing that, they come to their own conclusion. And the Lord Jesus Christ reprimands them for that. And he says, why do you think I'm talking about bread? I mean, after all, didn't I feed the 5,000 and we had tons left over? Didn't I feed the 4,000 and we had tons left over? Why would I be concerned about bread? Right? There's no problem with bread. So your conclusion is way off the mark. That's not the right understanding of what I'm talking about. But you haven't asked me about that. He says, don't you see? Don't you understand? Can't you make these connections? Don't you? And very interestingly, of course, he brings this issue of sight. He says, having eyes, do you not see? Don't you get it? And it's in that connection then that this miracle takes place, and Christ purposely enacts this miracle in the fashion that he did in order to help them understand the error of their ways and to present to them the way that they need to address that error. And that's why this passage is fitting for our reflections, because that's the danger that I've highlighted, a danger that, as I said, exposes us to the possibility of depression. Because when we don't understand something correctly in the scriptures that is very relevant to our Christian lives and our salvation, then that is exactly the area that the devil is going to seek to exploit. And so the question for us is, how can we avoid that? How can we avoid being exploited that way? How can we avoid being giving in to that kind of attack by the devil? And so the Lord Jesus Christ, first of all then, to help us and to help the disciples, brings to our attention, portrays this weakness that we have by drawing attention to physical blindness. So here was Jesus confronted with a blind man whose friends begged Jesus to heal him. And Jesus saw this blind man's condition as an apt example of the spiritual state of all unbelievers, and to a limited extent, his own disciples. So though we may be saved, we still have an element of blindness that we need to be careful of. Just as he said to his disciples, having eyes, do you do not see? Yes, they were his disciples, But they were deficient in certain things. And so the Lord Jesus Christ uses this man as a way of explaining and exemplifying this danger. So we can all understand that if we are blind, then life does bring many challenges. I mean, with all the advances in technology that we have, it's still a very serious handicap for us to deal with, to be blind. I mean, if we didn't have all of these helps and didn't have people, we would have a very difficult life. We would bump up against things, we'd fall into all kinds of pitfalls, and even as the Word of God teaches by highlighting the fact that you can't have the blind leading the blind. I mean, both would fall into holes. Both would have difficulties getting through life in that condition. And so this man comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, and everybody can see that he needs help. And that certainly then is reflected in us. And just as I said, we look at people that are physically blind, and we can so easily understand the need that they have, the trouble that they have to face in their lives. Well, so in the spiritual life, that is the same. That in the spiritual life, if we are dead in our trespasses and sins, then in a sense we are spiritually blind. We cannot see at all. And even though evidence is staring us in the face, we don't take notice of it. We don't understand it, and we don't accept it at all. And that is borne out by the fact that the unbelievers see all of this evidence of God's grace, and they see all of this evidence of God's existence and power in the world, and they do not respond to it whatsoever. They're totally blind. It's staring them in the face, and they will take no notice of it, because it's like a blind man and you're holding something up before the blind man. He doesn't know what it is. You can hold it there as long as you want, but he cannot see it. He's spiritually blind. He's spiritually, he cannot discern these things. I mean, other examples are given to explain that condition. We are dead in our trespasses and sins, the scriptures teach. You can do the same with a dead person. You can go to the grave and argue with this person day and night. You can present all the evidence that you want. It's not going to make any difference to that person, because they have no capacity to take that in. They have no capacity to think about that and reflect upon that. Why? It's not because of anything wrong with the evidence. There's nothing wrong with the evidence. There's nothing wrong with the creation. There's nothing wrong with God's communication to this world. No, it's the receptors that have something drastically wrong with them. They're totally blind. They're dead. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is using spiritual this physical blindness to highlight the blindness that we have in terms of our spiritual understanding. So how are we to deal with that? How is this partial blindness, we might say, in the case of believers, how is that dealt with? Or for that matter, how is blindness dealt with respect to the unbeliever? Well, with respect to the unbeliever, of course, in order for us to see that which is very clearly before us, is to have our eyes opened, is for God to heal our sight. It's for God to work in us, to change our hearts, to change our minds, so that when we see, now we see God. I mean, look at us as Christians. We look at the world and the creation, we marvel, and we see God's handiwork at every turn. Everywhere we look, we see the evidence of God's power and God's grace towards us. But the unbelievers don't. So what's the difference between us and them? The difference, of course, is that God has opened our eyes. God, by his Holy Spirit, has so worked in us that he's taken away that blindness. He's healed us. He's brought us back to life. We that were dead in our trespasses and sins, he has made alive through the Lord Jesus Christ. And our minds that were darkened by sin, our minds that were turned against God, now by the working of the Holy Spirit, our minds are turned around. And that's why I so often say, when we see people and they reject a lot of aspects of Christianity and the morals of Christianity, and they argue, and you can argue with them until you're blue in the face, and even if they are persuaded of one thing, there are many others that they're going to resist. But when they come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then their whole world view is changed around. Their whole minds are changed around. Now you don't have to go through every single thing and issue and argue. No, no, no. The Word of God itself will address those things. They can see for the first time. And they see a whole host of errors in their lives. And the more they read the Word of God, the more they understand those things. So, and when we are unbelievers, when we are believers, of course, though we are not totally blind, nevertheless, we can be partially blind. And so we have a remedy for that that is shown here as well. And so how is that highlighted in this passage? Well, it's highlighted by the fact that when this man is brought to the Lord Jesus Christ, then he is an unbeliever. from his physical state. And they beg the Lord Jesus Christ to heal this man, to heal his blindness. Same way that if we are unbelievers, we are brought by others pray first, and we beg the Lord Jesus Christ to have mercy on us, even as a publican, who asks God to have mercy upon him, begs him. And so in that condition, we come to the Lord Jesus Christ and we ask for forgiveness. We repent of our sins. We confess that we are unable to help ourselves, as we were saying this morning. We don't have it within ourselves to bring relief to ourselves, either in the physical world or in terms of the spiritual state of our hearts. And so we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ then heals this man. And so this man is healed. And as I say, the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't heal him all the way because he has a lesson to teach. And so the Lord Jesus Christ heals him. And then he raises the issue himself. He says to the blind man, "Do you see?" I mean, in a sense, the blind man is put in the same condition as the disciples to whom the Lord Jesus Christ said something and they didn't know what he was saying. They didn't understand what he was referring to. And so they're mixed up. They're confused. So what is their approach? Well, their approach was a wrong one. Their approach was to come to a conclusion based on their own evaluation and understanding of the situation. But they didn't test it. They didn't ask the Lord Jesus Christ for verification. They didn't say, "Lord, is this what you mean?" They just came to their own conclusion and they acted on that conclusion. And so they kept it from the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't want to admit that they didn't understand. But this man, you see, he's blind. The Lord Jesus Christ heals him, takes him outside of the town, touches his eyes, and asks him if he sees. Now, I mean, just imagine yourself to being that man. Everything was total darkness before. And here this man who has this great reputation, people have been talking about him all over the place, that he's healed all these people of different diseases, different ailments, even raised the dead. And this man takes you aside and he touches your eyes and now he's asking, "Do you see?" And you think, well, how should I respond? I mean, I can see. I mean, it's not total darkness anymore. But the truth of the matter is, I still don't see clearly. I see, but I don't see clearly. I see people, but I can't make it. It's so blurred. I can't tell the difference between them and trees. They look like trees to me. That was the true state that his sight was at. But you might think, oh, you know what? If I say that, it's going to maybe, knock his reputation down. And yet he's done something wonderful for me. I couldn't see anything before, right? And now if I say, oh, I don't see, you know, really, in a sense, you failed in what you did. I mean, how is that going to work itself out? Is he going to take even away what he's given me? Is he going to be angry at me that right in front of all of these crowds I'm saying that he failed? So he was faced with this question, this decision of how to respond. Do I respond honestly in line with what the reality that is before me? Or do I just go along with this and say, I'm healed? So we see this great difference between the way that the disciples acted and the way this man acts, right? This man says, "Lord, I see, but I see men like trees walking." I mean, he was absolutely honest. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to understand. That's what he wants his disciples to understand. Look, this man is being honest. You were not being honest. You see, the sad thing is, with respect to our understanding of God and of His Word, the sad thing is that at times Christians see the Word of God and they see it in such a fuzzy manner that they cannot really make out what it says. They see the Word of God, but it's so confusing. It doesn't help them at all. It doesn't help them walk in their Christian life because they're so confused by it. Anybody could come along and tell them, no, it's not. It doesn't mean this, it means that. Well, because we can't discern these things, because we can't tell the details, we don't know whether to believe this person or not to believe this person. Now, can you imagine how easy it is for the devil to exploit that condition? Very easy. So easy for him to say, no, the Lord, God doesn't love you. Look at the things that are happening. How can you possibly think that God loves you if these things are happening? And because you may be fuzzy on the area of providence, because you may be fuzzy in the area of redemption, then, or maybe you're fuzzy in terms of understanding what the Word of God says relative to many issues in the Scriptures. I mean, how often do we not deal with issues with our youth? I mean, do they understand? Do they see clearly? In terms of their morals? In terms of who they should marry? In terms of what kind of jobs? How they ought to act? In terms of the Sabbath, for example. If we don't understand what the Bible teaches on those things, we are like this man. We see the Scriptures, but we see them as in this example, as if they were men, but they look like trees walking. So, as I said, we can't make any firm decisions based on that. And so we are at a disadvantage. And this man was at a disadvantage. But understand that this man did not say, look, this is better than it was before. This was better than when I was blind. It's a forward step. I should be content with the fact that I'm not in total darkness anymore. That at least I can see, I can make figures out. I can't make the details out, but at least I can make figures. It's fine, it's okay. Thank you very much. He wasn't content. And so he says to the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, I see, but I see men like trees walking. You don't want to live a life in the physical realm in that condition. You can get by, sure. You're not going to fall into holes and bang into posts like you would if you were totally blind. That's true. It's some improvement. But it's still not the way that it ought to be. Your life is still going to be affected adversely. You try and read something, well, I mean, that comes to all of us at some point. But I'm saying, reading, you can't read anything. If you can't see men and they look like trees walking, you're not going to see letters and figures. So it is. And if you're driving, you're not going to see the traffic signs. There's still a whole host of ways in which your life is going to be handicapped because you accept that condition. And this man, as I said, is a wonderful example to the disciples to not put up with that, to not be content with that. And so this man lays it very open before the Lord that he cannot see. And the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, takes steps to correct that. So, we don't want to be, as I said, open to the devil's attacks. And I don't want to underestimate how we fall into these traps, how the devil surrounds us, how the devil confuses us. Because we think, oh, I'm saved and that's good enough. Some people unfortunately get that. I'm saved, that's good enough. They don't want to study God's word. They don't want to inquire more precisely into it or understand what the Word of God teaches in these areas. It's like, oh, we can get by without knowing these details. And I'm telling you, you're exposing yourself to danger. Yes, you may be a Christian. Yes, you may be secure in His hands. But this life, and furthermore, your witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, your service to the Lord Jesus Christ, will be greatly hindered because you are not fully equipped. Because you have these blind spots where you don't see clearly. And so you're going to damage yourself. You're going to set a bad example to other people. And there's no need for that. No need for that whatsoever. And that is borne out by this passage, because when the Lord Jesus Christ asks this man whether he sees clearly, and he receives this honest answer from the man, the Lord Jesus Christ goes on and touches his eyes again and heals him fully. And now he asks him once again whether he sees. And this time, of course, the answer is absolutely different than it was at the beginning. Now he does see. He sees everything clearly. And he saw everyone, it says. And he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Now when he saw people at a distance, he knew exactly who they were. He didn't see them as trees walking. He had discernment. He was able to distinguish between people. He was able to distinguish the dangers that would be in front of his life. And he could avoid those things. And of course, in the spiritual realm, what are we talking about? Now we can understand clearly what the scriptures teach. We can understand the dangers they warn us against. And so when those temptations are presented to us, we can take evasive action. We can resist the devil and he will have to flee from us. We can quench the fiery darts of the devil. We don't have to fall before him and get hurt and wounded and depressed at times. We don't have to live those kinds of lives. The Arminians don't have to go up and down in terms of their assurance of their salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, how terrible to go through those times. They can have that wonderful peace. They can have that wonderful assurance that they are the children of God. And when these difficult times comes, for example, in terms of illness, in terms of whatever difficulties we are confronted with, we don't have to go through this depression of thinking, oh, God has abandoned us. Oh, where is God? Why isn't he helping me? What did I do to deserve this? And go through all whatever period we go through that way. It's not pleasant for us to go through that. We need to have assurance. We need to understand the whole doctrine of the providence of God. We need to understand the different purposes sometimes that are behind our suffering or behind the difficulties that we experience. And we ought to be able, as Christians, to think through all of those things when we are confronted with these situations and come to a truth with respect to our condition and our relationship with God. That's the way that we have peace. That's the way that we find strength in our Christian life. And by the way, when we can see clearly, just as in the blind man's situation, when he cannot see to go a certain way, other people that can see can be a great help to that person. But as I already stated, what the Lord Jesus Christ said, the blind cannot lead the blind. In other words, if we can see clearly, not only can we see our path and avoid the dangers and the pitfalls, but we can be instruments in God's hands of helping others. So not only do we get benefit by understanding God's word and seeing clearly, but we can help other people. But the thing is, just like with blind people, you can't be with somebody 24 hours a day. It's not a solution to say, oh, whenever you have problems, you call me and I'll come and assist you. No, we can't spend 24 hours a day with people like that. So in the spiritual realm, We can't be content to say, well, I don't understand all of these things, and I don't really want to make the effort. After all, I do belong to a church. I can always call the minister. I can always call the elders. I can always ask my parents. But you're not going to have them right by your side every day of your life. No, you have to be able to stand on your own two feet. You need to be able to understand God's word. And so this passage and this miracle of the Lord Jesus Christ, which at first seems that it's like a confusing miracle. We say, well, you know, why? I don't understand. Why does Jesus take this two-step approach? And it's the only one that we have in the scriptures that are like that. So there's a reason for it. It wasn't that Jesus didn't have enough power to heal this man. How can that possibly be? He raised the dead. So there was a specific reason why he did it this way. And that reason, as I said, is for you to learn. It was for his disciples to learn. If the disciples, that were the apostles, of course, if they needed to learn this lesson, and they fell into this trap where they thought they could just think about it themselves and come to a conclusion, if they could be wrong, then how do you think you, being a young Christian, will not fall into traps if you don't take this warning seriously? And so the warning to you is, look, if you don't understand the scriptures in certain areas, then make an effort. Ask the Lord Jesus Christ to help you understand. Use the means of grace that God has provided through the avenue of the church. Enough books are written out there these days. There's no shortage of commentaries on the Word of God. I mean, everyone is so adept at using the computer, you can Google almost anything. But you have to be discerning which ones you pick on and read. But I'm saying access to biblical interpretation is right there at our fingertips. And especially, as I say, in terms of the means of grace on a local level, that you have ministers, you have elders, you have other mature Christians in the church that you can go to. You have avenues of Bible studies to go to. But why is it that when it comes to Bible studies, we don't find young people there? For that matter of fact, we don't find a lot of adults there either. So how is it that you're going to grow? How is it that you're going to avoid the pitfalls of life? How is it that you're going to stand against the devil with all the ways that he attacks you? It's one thing to look at other Christians and say, oh, look how strong they are. Look how strong they go through difficult times. Yes, it is a wonder that they go through difficult times. But I'm telling you, it's because they understand the scriptures. It's because they understand the power of God at work in their lives. And they see through the understanding of the scriptures that God, who helped people in the past in very difficult circumstances, is helping them. And when they see the saints of old face death and all of these dangers and persecutions and come through it, it's that that strengthens them to stand firm. It didn't just happen overnight. It's not intrinsic to us. It doesn't come along with coming to faith and we're given all of these things all at once automatically. No, it comes through hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And so the psalmist, that's what he says. He hungers and he thirsts to understand God's law, God's ways, God's wisdom that has been given to us in the scriptures, in terms of Ecclesiastes, in terms of Proverbs, in terms of Song of Solomon, in terms of Psalms, and of course the rest of the scriptures. There's so much given to us so that we might see clearly and see everything. So that when the devil does come to attack, then we can stand on the rich promises of God. And when all things around us seem to be speaking negatively, seem to be pointing in a downward direction with respect to our safety, we will not give in to that lie. But we, by faith, will see. You remember the servant of the prophet when they were surrounded by the Syrian army. In a sense, he didn't see clearly. The prophet did. I mean, the prophet saw the host of God surrounding him, being between them and the armies of Syria. He stood there in comfort and peace. But his servant couldn't see those things. He was panicked. He came to a totally different conclusion. He thought it was lost. They were lost, that they were going to lose now. The prophet was going to be captured, and they would probably lose their lives. And what did the prophet do? He prayed to God to open his eyes. And then his eyes were opened. And he saw clearly. He also saw the armies of the Lord of hosts. And he had peace as well. And so, let us have this understanding of how it is that we can go from where we are, where we see, yes, we're Christians, but we don't see clearly. We can go forward to this man's state of seeing perfectly by calling out to the Lord Jesus Christ and admitting, Lord, we see, but we don't see clearly. Help me. And the Lord has answered that. The Lord has provided the provisions for that. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. Understand that the Bible is the inspired word of God, as it says about itself, and is profitable in all kinds of ways. Is profitable to train us in righteousness, to correct us in our errors, to build us up in the faith, to such an extent, as Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:17, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work and be thoroughly equipped to defend himself against every attack of the devil. People of God, if you want to enjoy the Christian life to the full, and if you want to avoid depression and difficult times as we are attacked by the devil, then you need to see clearly. And the only way you're going to see clearly is to understand the scriptures clearly. And when you do, then you will indeed glorify God. And you will be in a position where the Lord can send us. He sent him back to his own town. Now he was ready. Now he was ready to tell other people how about the gospel and how they ought to live, because he'd experienced it himself. And this morning, of course, you remember we read, sang in Psalm 51. What does David say? After he'd made this terrible error, after he'd fallen into this darkness, after he'd gone into this depression because of his sin and the way that he didn't react to it in the way that he should have, what did it affect? He couldn't witness to anyone. He couldn't go around telling people about God and saying that they ought to believe. He was in such a dark place himself. And that's why he calls out to God. That's why he asks God not to take his spirit from him. And he wanted God, of course, to restore him, to forgive his sin, to restore him in his grace. Why? Because then, he says, he would then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Is when you live your life with a full understanding of the gospel and the word of God, and it is displayed in the way that you live, then you are in a fit condition to go to others that are blind and share with them the gospel. And not only the gospel, you remember, in the Great Commission, but teaching them everything that I have commanded you, so that they may not only be saved, in other words, not only see, but they may see clearly and live their lives to his honor and his glory. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we know that your word is described as a lamp unto our feet, a light upon our path. And our Father in heaven, we all can relate to that because most of us have walked along dark paths, and it is very dangerous But when we have a flashlight, it makes it so much easier. And our Father in heaven, we know that as we live our lives, there is that path of righteousness that you want us to walk upon, that you lay before us. But without a light, it is so easy to get sidetracked. And our Father, we do not wish to be sidetracked, because we know that those deviations lead us into the world of sin, as many have found out among your people, even great saints like David himself. And our Father in heaven, we pray then that you would indeed fill our hearts and minds with your word, so that we might be equipped to serve you in a way that is honoring. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would give us the hunger and thirsting to know you, to know your word. And we're thankful for all the means of grace that you provide. And our Father, we pray that each and every one will make themselves available so that they can grow, not only through the services, but through the studies, through their own reading of your word, so that we might be thoroughly equipped. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for giving us the means not only to see and to live, but to live abundantly. Our Father, we ask that you would hear our prayers, that you would receive our thanks, for we pray these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.